thirsty, my friends.
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things.
Touchdown, Packers!
Football is life!
Lana!
What? Danger zone.
Was gonna be this way.
No! No! No!
Psych you out in the end.
This is the way.
It's Morphin time!
Joyful and jolly Jokerfish.
Ew, David.
And be better protected from mayhem. Like me.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello. I'm the doctor.
Nerd!
Wow. I am just realizing how hard sign is to communicate over an audio-based platform. But for those of you who didn't know what I was saying welcome back to a brand new episode of the Nerdiest Podcast in the Midwest, an episode where we're going to be talking about the Marvel TV show that you didn't watch, so we watched it for you, Echo, Echo, Echo. Here on the Midwestern Nerds podcast, I am your host, Brian Stoffel, joined as always by my co-host, my partner in crime, my sidekick, KO, Kyle Olson. We are the Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream and listen to this podcast wherever you find and stream and listen to your podcasts. This week, we are talking about Echo. This is part two of a three-part saga. In part one, Kyle and I kind of informed you all of where we were, what we've been doing, why we took such a long break from the podcast. Part two, we are talking about all things Echo, the TV show that came out so long ago that you probably already forgot what it was if you even watched it. So we went ahead, we watched it for you. We give you our thoughts in this episode, the things we liked, the things we disliked, and how this show affects the MCU going forward, if at all. Which, spoiler alerts, there's a teeny tiny part of it that does. So sit back, relax, enjoy, listen to our thoughts on all things Echo right now.
Now we're going to get into some fun stuff that we have actually seen.
Yay!
We have actually watched. Let's start with Echo. This was a show that, I will be honest, I was not excited for at all. I remember in Hawkeye, I felt like she was the weakest part of that show. And getting a show of her own, I was like, okay, like, I'll watch it because it's Marvel. But am I, like, excitedly anticipating the show? No. And then on top of that, all of the behind-the-scenes drama of, like, the filming and all that went down, the fact that, like, it almost didn't happen, I was like, maybe this is, like... And this was, again, before Life Implosion in July. Yeah. When all this was going down, I was like, maybe this is the first Marvel show that I don't watch, that I skip. Now fast forward like five or six projects at this point that I haven't watched yet, but I made a point to watch this one because that first trailer that they released ignited an excitement that nobody saw coming, because they made a phenomenal trailer for that series. Where I was like, all right, I have to watch this. Did it live up to that trailer? That's the question. I'm going to cut to Kyle, because I have very mixed feelings on this show. And Kyle's usually our go-to optimist, despite all of the things that we just unloaded. When we get to this podcast, he's usually the one that finds all the good things to talk about in these shows. So, the look on your face and the laughter tells me this is not a good setup, but I'm going to kick it to you anyway. Kyle, you watched Echo. You watched the five episodes of this series, Echo. Did it live up to that trailer?
For you? No. I am going to be positive about this show, I promise. It did not live up to the trailer because, if we're being completely honest, all of the good scenes from the show were in the trailer. They did a phenomenal job at promoting this show. They said, hey, this is a good 2 minutes. Let's release this to the public and get people excited. No, okay.
Plus, we'll be like, it's dark, it's edgy. Marvel's going mature for the first time.
And again,
it's must-watch TV.
The only bloody mature scenes were in the trailer. okay. Breathe. So, at the end of the day, I'm glad I watched the show and I enjoyed it. Will I watch it again? No. But that's because not a lot happened in it, right? Like,
yes.
And you talked about the behind the scenes stuff. That kills a lot of my enjoyment for this kind of show because, like, this is a risky show. This is Marvel taking a deep dive into a character that no one really knows about. They're changing her powers. They're doing a spotlight series, which I swear to God, if they never use spotlight again, we're going to know what they did with this because they better use spotlight again. Otherwise, they're really in trouble. But they, again, the behind the scenes stuff, they specifically announced at one point, we're dropping all the episodes at once, which was like, okay, they don't believe in this because you're not going to give the water cooler talk. Which would have really benefited the show, actually, because after the first episode, imagine the water cooler talk after the Daredevil fight and, like, the teases of Kingpin. And, like, it would have been good. They dropped everything at once. They cut it from 6 episodes to 5. And then you can tell that they changed some things, too, because, like, I think it's at the end of episode 3 when Kingpin finally arrives in Tomaha? Whatever the town was, I can't remember. When he shows up there, you can clearly tell that when he, in the end of the third episode, he's on a green screen. But then in the beginning of the fourth episode, he's actually there. It's really strange. You can tell that there was reshoots and that kind of stuff. And there's fun things to talk about. There's really cool Easter eggs. There's really cool bits and pieces. And a lot of the characters are really fun. I can't remember the guy's name, but the old grandpa, like, one of my favorite characters. He's so funny and he's so cool. But, like, in general, the show, I thought the first episode was good, even though it was mostly recap. The third episode I thought was really cool. The fourth episode was good, but that's because it was Kingpin. And then the finale was kind of flat, I'm not gonna lie to you. And the other, my last point, unfortunately, is that Kingpin and Daredevil were not necessary for this show. They shouldn't have been in it, in my opinion. They really should not have been in this show. Daredevil really didn't need to be in. He was just in a fight. That was just to get to people watching episode 1. And then Kingpin, man, it really felt like they were rehashing what Maya had already gone through at the end of Hawkeye. She already confronted Kingpin and, like, made her decision pretty clear. So it almost, I'll say, because by the end of the show, Kingpin is actually resurrected in my mind, but it almost damaged the Kingpin character. Mm. Where he was begging for this girl's forgiveness, and he wanted her on her side, and it was weird, and she was fighting with that decision when she already mentally killed him. Like, she shot him in the face. She thought he was dead. So then to go through this whole decision again, but draw it out over 2 episodes, it was just, I didn't think, it felt too, in the moment, it felt like we should put Wilson Fisk in this show, so here's how we're going to do it. And that, to me, that didn't feel good. It should have been more like a Roxxon company trying to take, you know, it could have been a generic story. A Roxxon company taking oil from the land. Like it, and that's an easy Native American story to tell. And I don't know, they just made it weird. So I'll let you go for a little bit. I just ranted for a while.
No, that's fine. Because unfortunately, I don't have much more good stuff to talk about with the show either.
I do want to, when it comes back to my turn, I do want to talk about some of the good stuff I liked and some of the cool Easter eggs.
Yeah. I will say that until, like, talking about it now and, like, respurting some of what happened in the show, it's kind of like the Marvels for me, where it was pretty forgettable because, like you said, Kyle, not a lot happened, which is a shame because I feel like this show had a lot of potential. It had a lot of story elements and ideas that if they would have been handled and crafted better, this could have been a really good show. I actually really liked the first episode. And in fact, I feel like it was a very good introduction to this character for the people who didn't watch Hawkeye. I know a lot of your general audience nowadays that was riding the hype train of Marvel, but isn't like as hardcore as we are about this. A lot of those people are kind of falling off of Marvel right now because they're getting lost. They don't know who these characters are that were in the Disney Plus show that they didn't watch or made a quick cameo in that movie that happened 3 years ago. And now they're coming back to this new project and they're the spotlight. And because they didn't watch those, and because a lot of those past projects didn't really do a good job of reintroducing like these characters to your new audience, it was ostracizing a lot of people. Where this, if you had no interest at all in Hawkeye and didn't want to watch Hawkeye, but for some reason you wanted to come watch this show, maybe you saw Kingpin in all of those trailers, maybe you saw all the clips that they used of the fight scene with Daredevil, and you were like, yes, I want to watch this show because I want to see them. You weren't lost at all, because that first episode took the main key points about this character and didn't just give you like the clip show recap. I thought they did a really good job of taking previous footage and building onto it and expanding it in that first episode to really flesh out who this character is, what she's been through, and where she's at right now.
They even used some cool deleted scenes too.
Yeah. And I only watched that first trailer for the show, and then I was like, all right, I'm back in, I'm gonna watch it. And I avoided everything as hard as I could. So the only clip of Daredevil that I saw was that second in that first trailer where they showed him like leaping over that table. When he shows up halfway through the first episode, I was like, whoa, he's here already? I knew that he wasn't gonna have this huge part. I knew it was gonna be like one, maybe two episodes. So I was really excited when he showed up because A, that fight scene was awesome that he was in. I feel like, unlike Kingpin, which Kyle's already touched on and we're going to get into more, Daredevil, I don't think is affected by this show. He's one of those characters so far where, love or hate the projects that he showed up in so far, you don't hate that character because each one of those has represented that character like perfectly.
Has not betrayed him at all.
Yes, he has not been tainted, and that scene was awesome. Will I ever come back and watch this show? Probably not, but could I see myself going back and rewatching this first episode if they do decide to go somewhere with Echo at some point? Absolutely.
Which they
even
should.
Just for that Daredevil scene alone. So,
and I do want to point out, as much as I give shit to the Daredevil for the story that they told, I don't agree with the story that they told, but for the story that they told, the Daredevil scene is actually super pivotal and very cool for the relationship between Fisk and Maya, because I don't think he had any plans of keeping her in his life in the criminal world. But as soon as he heard that she stood toe-to-toe and survived Daredevil, that's when he started taking a liking to her and added her to the family business. Because at the time, which is now MCU canon, he's going through that first interaction with Daredevil. So he'll take any advantage that he can get.
But yeah, that first episode was awesome. And then this show really didn't do anything after that. I'll be honest. I was hopeful. I watched all five episodes. I was like, this has got to turn around at some point. And like I kind of said, there was a lot of potential for a good story here that I feel like they didn't know what to do with the character. They didn't know what to do with the story. it was during the Bob Chapek era of Disney, where it was, we need to get as much content out as possible to build these streaming services. I almost wish that it wasn't a thing, like that it didn't happen, because you touched onto it where it almost ruined Kingpin, where people were already feeling that way in Hawkeye, which I like Kingpin so far. From up to this show, I had liked Kingpin so far. I liked the realistic, gritty stuff that we got from the Netflix Daredevil stuff. And I liked that they were like, in Hawkeye, that they were like, this is a comic book character. He wasn't always like this dark, gritty, hardcore character. He was brought up in the 60s, where lots of drugs were going on in comic books and some goofy shit happened. And I liked it for that project. Now, if you ask me, do I want to see that fully, like only that Kingpin fully in the MCU? No, like give me a mixture of both. But I liked the introduction of that more comic booky, lighter, I don't want to say goofy, but like not as hardcore Kingpin. But this show, the decisions that he was making and the push for Maya, they tried to convey in those flashback scenes, which were good. I felt like we had more flashback scenes with Kingpin and Maya in Hawkeye to establish that upbringing than we did in this show. And past Kingpin, like in the Netflix series, would use his emotions to fuel his further agenda, but he wouldn't let it cloud. Whereas this show was very much like, he almost turned into like a temper tantrum toddler that she didn't want to like be the new Kingpin. And why do you want her to be the new Kingpin? What has she done? How has she proven that she could handle it? How has she proven that she even wants it? And as much as I said that I liked the comic booky stuff in Hawkeye, you shot the guy in the fucking face. He should be dead. The way that they kind of were like, even for the comic book reader, I was like, come on. Like, no one's surviving a bullet to the face by being in a coma for 5 months in a hospital. And you've got like magic technology that will just regrow his eyeball and like fix his face.
I have an answer for this, and I'm going to get into this. I don't know if you want me to do it now, but I actually have a good headcanon for this.
I wish that it would have been this is what we thought happened in Hawkeye. Like, we thought he got shot in the face. And then we see in the show that maybe because of the upbringing that Kingpin had of her, she shot past him and was like, this is your warning. Stop what you're doing now. If you don't, like, I'm going to have to stop you, or something along those lines. Or one of the fucking tracksuit mafia jumped in front of him before the bullet hit him in the fucking face.
Ooh, I don't mind that.
Anything would have been more believable and realistic than I got shot in the face, but I'm so OP as a mob boss.
Correct.
That I didn't die and I can regrow my eyeball and fix my face with my money.
So I'm still convinced, and I believe someone, I can't remember who, but brought this up during Hawkeye. Ooh. I'm convinced that he took super soldier serum. I'm pretty convinced on that.
Then show us that.
I agree.
He took some form of super soldier serum, or the one thing that I'm surprised they haven't introduced into the MCU at this point that shows up all the time in the comic books and I keep waiting for it. Maybe he's a fucking life model decoy.
Oh.
In fucking Hawkeye. I'm That'd be cool. I'm the kingpin of crime. I'm not going to show up for a little problem with my tracksuit mafia gang. That's why I'm wearing the Hawaiian shirt. because this life model decoy's got his own personality, even though he's still me, but it's not me, it's a robot.
Yeah.
So anything.
A, what's incredibly damaging to Wilson Fisk is that he keeps losing. Like, we've been asking Marvel for a long time to quit killing their villains. But at the same time, you can't have villains in three different shows at this point and lose every single one. And now we're setting him up to be like another big bad in another show. Like at some point it's like, okay, why do I care? Why do I feel threatened by this guy? The second thing is I truly believe, and they should have established this. I'm not saying that they got away with it, but they should have established. I think he's got super soldier serum, if I can say it correctly, because it felt like it in the fight in Hawkeye, and now with the shot to the eye, and he's healing already. I think he's good on that healing technology. To me, it looks a lot like, and it looks very similar to the technology that Ultron was using to build the Vision body. I think this goes into the theory that Wilson Fisk has bought Avengers Tower. And I think that there was some leftover technology somewhere that he has now got his hands on, because A, he has that healing eye patch. B, he randomly just now has technology that can translate sign language. And if you look in the AI of the sign language of the technology in her eye, in her contact, you can see that there's other options for other languages too. So I don't think it's just specifically he built this for her. He found the technology and is now using it for her, which again plays into the story of he doesn't actually care about her. He is using her. Everyone else in her life and her family has learned American Sign Language to talk with her, except for him. He either crafted or found technology that he is using so that they can communicate. Like, again, beautiful storytelling for the story that they told.
I just want to jump in real quick to say that I actually really did like that part.
Yes.
The technology part. I thought that was really cool, where they could, you know, talk to each other. And
it made for a good visual for the show, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that I could understand. That I was like, okay, I'm on board for that.
And again, it plays into the character where he never learned to. He literally hired someone. Multiple people, we found out. He hired multiple people to sign for him and then had them killed. But, like, he never took the time to fully learn. He knew a couple things we saw in Hawkeye and in the show, but he never fully learned ASL for her.
We've been bashing the show a lot, but that story element was a good part. I love your theories, but until they either say in Daredevil Born Again or Kingpin shows up in some other project, which... We'll get into that that post-credit scene. Until that happens, though, that's all it is. It's just theories. Like, and that's where the show failed, where it presented questions that didn't deliver the answers to. And that's one of the things.
Where that theory comes from, I believe it was someone on Screen Crush did an interview with someone from Marvel. I want to say it was Michael Waldron, but I don't know fully. They did an interview and they asked him, will we find out who bought Avengers Tower? And they said yes. They didn't say in this show necessarily, but they did say that we are going to find out who bought Avengers Tower. So that's where the theories come from.
Sweet. Yeah, I don't have too many positives. I've got all the negatives. Sure. And it sucks. It sucks because we keep getting back to this point of the show had a good premise and it should have delivered. And going off of that premise... I liked the look at, and I'm even, it's been almost 3 weeks at this point since I've seen this show.
Yeah.
I forget which tribe, but their beliefs.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
Belief
chapter. I really liked that stuff, but we're having this show centered around this Native American culture. And that's all that we're going to show. Like, why not get into how this small town of this Native American tribe, you know, lives day to day? How is Kingpin's organization affecting the community? How is Maya coming back into all of this and bringing the gang stuff affecting the community. And I get it. They shrunk it down to 5 episodes, but you could have really stretched this out to told a much more compelling, better story. Because other than the creationism story that they have, and then the different spirits that follow her, to the now these are ghosts that give our old women superpowers to beat up Kingpin and his goonies at the end. Other than that, all we see is a powwow. And we don't even get into the hows and whys of why this is important to this community. What's the meaning behind this powwow? We just see, oh, this community is coming together for what anybody would assume is like almost like a fair type thing of like, yep, we do this every year to bring in people to make some money, and we're going to dance around. And this sounds really insensitive, and I apologize, but that's kind of how it felt watching the show, where it was like, we don't really care to dive that deeply into this culture other than their belief system to support our superpower thing at the end, which I felt was a huge misstep. Because if you're gonna tote that this is like the first MCU project to like dive into Native American culture, show us that culture, which they really didn't.
Which actually, technically, by release date, is not. This is not the first project. What If actually has a very good episode on Native American culture,
which I haven't watched that one yet. So
we'll get into that later. So that was actually one of the positives that I wanted to bring up. I love when a studio wants to tackle a project like this and they bring in people to consult. Marvel and the show directors literally brought in the leader of the tribe, and I wish I could remember.
Yeah, with their thank you at the end, yes. I thought was really touching too.
And he's done interviews too. I've seen a couple of those, and like they are, from what I'm understanding and what the feeling of the show was, felt very authentic. Like it felt very real when they were in those scenes and talking about that kind of stuff. So that I very much appreciated, because it helped me, and I've talked about this on the show before. I'm very blessed with the ability to kind of turn off my brain sometimes and just throw myself into a show, no matter how good or bad. So I was able to do that in most of the show. Like I was able to just kind of like, ooh, okay, what's happening? My last bad thing that I want to say, like negative thing that I want to say, the finale was not good. I did not like the climax of the fight, where I don't mind that they gave her new powers. If they want to take her, because her powers in the comic are literally echoing, mimicking people's powers, people's fighting style. They gave that to Taskmaster. That's fine. If you want to give her a more spiritual power, that's okay. My criticism of that is it's another person with glowy light coming out of their hands. Do we need to do that again? The other part of that is it didn't translate well. And like, I felt like there were more stakes. Again, they made this TVMA and they hammered that home that this was going to be such a big deal for the MCU. And then we have that final scene where Fisk has both her best friend and her grandmother. And I'm going to make, I can't even remember what he says, but it's something like, I'm going to make you choose, or you have to watch me kill them, or something like that. And they both live. And I genuinely, because I had so much hope for this show, I'm watching the finale and they both come out of those lights. And I was like, holy shit, one of them's going to die. And I got excited in that feeling of like, this is going to mean something. This is going to be a really cool finale. And then nothing happened. She partially heals his eye and tries to heal Wilson Fisk of the post-traumatic stress disorder that he's got going on, of his parents being abusive, his dad specifically. And like, and that was, were we supposed to feel sympathy for Wilson Fisk in this scene? Like I couldn't. You already tried to shoot him in the head. You already tried to kill him. I couldn't understand it.
And then weirdo Russian dude standing up on top of his motorhome with his bazooka in front of everybody being like, I'm going to take out this crowd. Anybody and everybody can see me. And sure as shit, somebody saw him and shoots him before he can shoot the crowd.
He took the rocket. I don't know how he got the launcher part of this up there, but he took the rocket out of a Yeti cooler that also had beer in it. Yeah. Are you telling me that you kept your rocket on ice? What was that? What the fuck was that? Oh my god. I wanted to like this show, and I still came out of it, like, happy that I watched it. But oh my god, was the finale bad, dude? It was so bad. Yeah. The setup of the end of episode 4. Wilson goes back. He finds out that Maya didn't come to the plane. He goes back into the town, finds the grandma, and she doesn't know who he is. And he goes, oh, is that an ASL necklace? And she goes, oh yeah, I had to learn it for my grandchild. Or actually, she said for her daughter. So that actually confirmed that the mom, we didn't even talk about the mom, and that backstory was kind of cool. All that different stuff. Like the cliffhanger of Wilson Fisk going and being face to face with the grandma again gave me chills. I was like, holy shit, he's here. He's going to fuck shit up. They did so well up until then. And I have to imagine, because I've been trying to figure out where the missing episode fits in. It's either early in the series, episode 2 or 3, where they almost establish the town a little bit more, or it has to be episode 5/6. Because there's no way that this was the finale that they planned. There's just no way. Yeah. I'm assuming that was a 2-episode finale, and they scrapped one of it. It frustrated me.
The last negative thing that I want to say, because we've been talking about this for a while, to the point where
I just realized that I took notes on it too, so I'm gonna pull those up quick.
I don't know how much more we can talk about this before we're just retreading the same ground. But the last negative thing that I want to say is actually, I feel like kind of the biggest sin of this show is that we didn't really give any new development or establishment to not just Kingpin, but also to Maya herself. Where we left off with her in Hawkeye, she was the quote-unquote bad guy of the series. So, like, she was kind of like a hard ass and a bitch. And this show, it had the promise of, I've seen the error of my ways. Yes. Like, I think I'm going to change and try to do better.
Well, she literally sent off whoever her partner in crime was, who was friends with her dad before he died, too. She sent him off, and she shot at Kingpin. Like, so, like, that is the... oh, I'm bad, but I'm turning good type of thing. And then again, we almost had to go through that again in this show.
Exactly. And I feel like when the show started, she wasn't very likable. She was kind of a bitch to everybody. And by the end of the 5 episodes, I don't think she had that much like development and growth. Like, she was still using everybody to kind of like get to her own means and ends and all that. And there was... the best friend that there was like some kind of weird sexual tension with too, that I was like, what is going on with this relationship? This friendship relationship? Why is it such a big deal? Because we're not even spending any time on it, but we're told that it's a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
I didn't find her very likable at all. Like I liked a lot of the side characters more than I liked her. Like the grandpa that you brought up, I didn't like him at first, but he really grew on me and became, I think, my favorite in the show.
Yep.
Biscuits and his dog. I don't remember the dog's name, but when he first showed up, I was like, what the fuck are we doing here with this character? But he had more of a developmental growth throughout those 5 episodes than fucking Maya did, because by the end of the series, I was like, I fucking love this guy. He's goofy as fuck, but I love him.
I don't remember the dog's name, but they missed a real opportunity for him, for the dog to be named Gravy.
Right?
It'd be Biscuits and Gravy. I mean, come on.
I feel like it was something weird, like Sergeant Johnson or something like that.
No, Billy Jim? Something like that.
I don't remember.
It was like a double, it was like a that old like trope of like a Southern guy having 2 first names. That's what it was.
Yep. But yeah, when I feel like he had more of a character growth than the main character of the series, and he steals the spotlight for me every time, it's like there's something wrong here.
Yeah. So I had 2 other things that I want to bring up as a positive, but they also have a negative spin on them. It's weird. So there's that scene. First of all, hold on, before we get to that, Kingpin used to have cufflinks. Yes, this was established. Yes. Even in Hawkeye, she threw the cuffling. She stole the cuffling and she threw the cuffling. I didn't see the cufflinks at all in this series. He actually had new rings that almost looked like the cufflinks, so I really hope they didn't try to change that in front. I really hope. I know. Very strange. The other part of this was I literally jaw on the floor yelled holy shit when he brought out the hammer. That was a cool scene for people who have watched Daredevil. However,
you're like, what the fuck is going on? Why are we introducing this side plot towards the end of the last episode of this series?
That's not even what I was gonna bring up.
What has this got to do with anything? Why should we care about this?
I hope that there's a reason for this and not just that they missed it. It's a different hammer than what he actually fucking used on his father. And I just...
Oh, no way.
Yes, it's a ballpoint hammer, which just has the two brunt ends, right? It's a rounded and a flat end. The hammer that he used on his dad is an actual, like, you know, it's got the end to take the hammer out of the... And I've heard some people describe it as, like, I can't remember exactly. I wouldn't be able to describe it. I've heard a specific reason that this could have been a choice that Wilson Fisk made to symbolize something, as far as like he's molding Maya into something, and that hammer is more used for molding, whereas this hammer is more built for creating or something like that. I hope it's not a continuity error, because that really, it bugged him. It was so cool. And then I sat there for like 2 minutes. And I was like, that's not the same hammer. It started to bug me a little bit.
It's been so long since I've revisited that series that I didn't remember.
I remembered
the hammer,
which
was
good.
That was a very big part of, speaking of character development, Wilson Fisk's character development in season one.
Yes.
Of that Daredevil show.
So good.
I will say this, as little as Daredevil showed up and as much as I didn't disliked a lot of the Kingpin stuff in this show, everything that's kind of been sparked now after the show, and the fact that like now the Netflix Daredevil stuff is mostly canon and has been confirmed as mostly canon, and that Foggy and Karen are coming back now to Daredevil Born Again, and we're gonna be it's now kind of feeling more like season four, like we were hoping that it would, makes me very much want to revisit the show even more, because I loved that show.
Not to mention, they've added the other Defender series to the MCU timeline on Disney Plus. So that's exciting too. So that I'm crossing my fingers for Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. So the last thing I want to touch on, and obviously
Purple Man back, David Tennant, bring Purple Man back.
I don't know if they could, but if they can, yes, please.
Dude, I'm not just saying this because David Tennant's in Doctor Who and he was my favorite doctor. He legit is the best villain that Marvel has ever done in the MCU.
I feel like if we went back into an old episode and found out when I actually watched the first season of Jessica Jones and talked about it on this podcast, I feel like I probably said something along these lines. I understand the hype of Doctor Who specifically because of his performance in that show.
Yeah. Dude, David Tennant's amazing. Fucking amazing.
He was incredible. We need to wrap this up, and we need to talk about the post-credit scene. Oh my God. Okay. So he's flying in his plane, right? He's flying on his way home. And all of a sudden, there's this newscast on, and they're talking about, we need a new mayor candidate. Someone's going to pop out of the way. They need to be a brass-knuckle fighter. They need to go against the grain. And they're literally talking to Kingpin as he's trying to recover from this detrimental loss. We are going to get a mayoral campaign, and I think he's going to win. Like I said earlier, he's losing too much. Kingpin needs to win something. He's going to win this mayoral campaign. He's going to be the mayor of New York. I think he's going to run shit out of Avengers Tower. I can't wait for Daredevil Born Again, because that is such a good setup for the political things that they can do with that. Not only he could put a ban on vigilantism, that could fuck with Daredevil, and then his practice of Murdoch and Nelson and Murdoch. Thank you. Like, it can, there are so many cool things that they could do with that, and they need to run with it. And I know they will. Like, I don't think they would have thrown this in there if they wouldn't, if they didn't plan on doing this for Daredevil Born Again. I genuinely, as much as we've ragged on this, I cannot wait for Daredevil after that post-credit scene.
So, spoilers, but Mayor Fisk has been a huge part of the comics for quite a while now in recent past Marvel comics.
Doesn't he always talk about a presidential campaign? I don't think he wins, but
if he did, I didn't read that series.
If he didn't, there'd be some cool shit. If we're gonna have President Thaddeus Ross, right? He could do some Red Hulk shit, and then we'd be, oh shit, we need a new president. How about this New York mayor who's doing really well?
Yeah. Kingpin was mayor for quite some time in the Marvel comics, and not just affected the Daredevil series, but affected the whole MCU. The ban on superheroes in New York City that you kind of mentioned, that was like a key plot point of a big event not that long ago called Devil's Reign, and is still in effect and has ramifications of shit going on in the comics today. So the thing that I loved about the comics that I really hope they successfully do in the MCU, not just like the Daredevil series, is as mayor of New York, Wilson Fisk can both be a huge hindrance on our heroes, but also an unlikely ally at times, where he's in office now and he's got to keep up that good image. He's gonna do his Kingpin shifty, shady stuff and use people, but he's gonna make himself look like a good guy as well and build up this character until he can completely rip them down into the public eyes.
I also just thought of something too, like Daredevil or a character like Jessica Jones could catch him doing some of the dirty shit that he does, because we know he's a physical guy. He's kind of a basket case sometimes. He'll just get in the heat of the moment and kill someone. They could use that. Peter Parker. Oh my God. Peter Parker could take a picture of Kingpin killing someone in an alley and then use that as dirt. Like, we could have a hero blackmailing Kingpin as mayor to help the heroes type of thing. Like, we could have that kind of storyline on a street level MCU. Oh
yeah. A lot of that stuff has happened in the comics. So if that all sounds interesting to you, check out some comics, some recent Marvel comics, because it's some good stuff. And then if they went this far with it, I'd be like, holy shit. But I don't feel like I'm spoiling anything for MCU wise. But do you know who becomes mayor after Kingpin, after he's, you know, shown his true colors to the public eye and is taken out of office? You know who takes over?
I feel like I've heard it before, but no, I can't think of it.
Luke Cage.
Yo, what?
Yeah.
Oh my God, please bring back Luke Cage in this Daredevil Born Again series.
This city needs heroes again. But it's interesting because they bring in the politics stuff of it too, of the ban on vigilantes in New York is still in effect because he legally can't take it out of effect because of it's got to be in effect for like a certain amount of time. So, yeah, it paints some interesting stuff for Luke Cage, too. And if we remember, Luke Cage took over Diamondback's club from, I forget her name because it's been so long since I've watched that show, too. And that was our cliffhanger of, oh, is he becoming the Kingpin of Harlem now?
Yeah, what was her name? I
don't remember. And if we brought back Luke Cage as like a, maybe he doesn't even win yet in the MCU. Maybe he's the one who's running against Wilson Fisk. How crazy would that be?
I'm so excited. I remember watching that Luke Cage series, just like falling in love with the character. And at the time being like, they're never going to be in the MCU. And it's so sad. But then, hey, now look at him. Like, it's probably going to happen.
Right?
That'd be cool stuff. All right.
Out of all that trudging that we did through that show, we still managed to shine some light at the end.
At the end of the day, like I said, I enjoyed it and I'm glad I watched it. There's just issues that you have with it.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of issues, which we talked ad nausea about.
Thank you all so much for joining us once again on another brand new episode of the Midwesterners podcast. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwesterners. We are the Midwesterners podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to midwesternerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream and listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share and subscribe, be kind, please rewind. All of these things help this podcast to continue to improve and grow and be the Midwesternerds podcast that you, the listener, want to listen to. Join us next time as we get into the final part of this saga, part 3, where Kyle and I dive into a fun new movie of 2024 on Hulu titled Self-Reliance. We also dive into some of our favorite things of 2023, since we kind of left you guys off halfway through the year and didn't come back to you until 2024. So as our best stop recommendations, we kind of give you some of our favorite things of 2023, as well as a look into the future of this podcast and where we're going next, what we're doing, and what the future has in store. So until next time, I have been Brian Stoffel. My partner has been KO Kyle Olson. And whether it's beer, brats, comics, or mediocre Marvel shows, keep it nerdy.